Today is the second Sunday in Advent, one of the longest observed seasons within the church calendar. There is evidence that as early as 380 AD, the Council of Saragossa decreed that the period between December the 11th and the 6th of January, that all Christians should go to church every day. Later in the 5th century, fasting was to be observed every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from November the 11th up to Christmas. This, as you can see, had some semblance to Lent. Lent, which was the period in the preparation for the day of the resurrection. Advent, in the preparation of the incarnation. Therefore, the two major holy days, Christmas and Easter, from early on, had a period of preparation, which entailed fasting, repentance, and even penance. For Advent, it was not only a time in preparation for the incarnation, but for the strong belief of the second coming of Christ. Therefore, it had its aspects of celebration of joy, as found in the often used text of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem as the first text of Advent, as well as its strong element of preparation for the Acropolis, which was found in the scripture lessons, the 21st chapter of Luke, and were read the second Sunday of Advent. So we had joy, and on the other hand, we had this preparation of repentance. Gradually, by the 8th century, the season of Advent was dwindled down to the present 4 Sundays before Christmas. The mixed message of Advent, repentance and joy, would remain. It is interesting that a problem we face this year with Advent, beginning the latest it can and thus placing the 4th Sunday in Advent on Christmas Eve, is not a new controversy. How do you celebrate that Sunday when Christmas Eve services are the celebration of the Nativity? They had the same problem with that years ago, with this late date. When this occurred, some began the season of Advent with the 5th Sunday before Christmas, while others adhered to the strict 4-Sunday rule. The controversy went on for years. Finally, in the 11th century, the 4-Sunday rule won the day. And therefore, we live with that decision to this very day. Therefore, since 3 services would be quite much for many, we have chosen at Epiphany to have the family Christmas Eve service at our regular Sunday morning time and the traditional candlelight service at 10 o'clock p.m. From early on, Advent brought with it a time for peace. Now, this is very interesting. During the Advent season, The truce of God was to be observed, during which war and animosities was forbidden by edict of the church. No wars, no animosities. This lasted for centuries. But I did not research how many times it was broken. To have a world follow such a period of peace each year may be utopian, but just may have had a history-changing effect. During the Middle Ages, Advent continued to be a prominent season of the church calendar. Although it was still a season mixed with the joy of preparation for the Nativity, it still also was preparatory for the second coming of Christ. This meant extreme periods of fasting, repentance, and penance. To experience self-inflicted pain and extreme acts of self-denial were also very prevalent. These acts or works were seen to put you in the favor of God's eyes and bring you within the coming kingdom of God. Of course, Luther and the Reformation ended the theology of works and gave us the theology of faith. The joy of the season during the Middle Ages seems to have been in the celebration of the Jesse tree. This was a learning tool in teaching the stories of the Old Testament. For each story, a symbolic picture or some symbolic piece was placed on the tree. For instance, the Advent Jesse tree began with the story of Adam and Eve and the eating of the forbidden fruit. Therefore, apples were then placed on the tree, and thus to some, it became Advent's apple tree. Children then would dance and sing around the tree. As a hangover to some Scandinavians still decorate their Christmas tree with apples. Into this mixed bag of happenings during Advent is the celebration of St. Nicholas Day, on the 6th of December, just this past Wednesday. Little is known about St. Nicholas, except he was born into a very wealthy family at Petar around the year 280. Upon the death of his parents, Nicholas, at a very young age, inherited their very vast fortune. No more than a teenager, he proceeded to give it all away to the needy. Then he entered a monastery and at 17 became a priest. By the time he reached his early 20s, he was chosen to be the Archbishop of Myra. His life continued to show acts of compassion to the needy as well as average person and the rich. For he became the patron saint to children, orphans, sailors, fishermen, and bankers. His special devotion to children carried forth after his death. The celebration of St. Nicholas Day on December the 6th came to be the day for children. And Heidi could tell us all about that. Still in many traditions, especially in Europe,
On St. Nicholas Eve, children set out food for the saint, straw for his donkey, and shoes, and which gifts were to be placed and returned. Clement Moore, in his classic poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," changed all of that, especially here in the Western Hemisphere. He had St. Nicholas arriving on Christmas Eve, and the whole emphasis of Christmas began to change. To have this happen only aided the subtle takeover of Christmas by commercial interests, as well as the long-fought battle of having Christmas becoming a pagan celebration of winter solstice. For instance, many of our beloved Christmas songs now that you hear on the radio have nothing to do with Christmas, have nothing to do with the celebration of Christ's birth. The irony of it all is that many who are the loudest in promoting keeping Christ in Christmas are the ones who, by practice, are really celebrating winter solstice or some kind of emphasized commercial Christmas, which finds meaning in life in Black Friday. This is why many think the Christmas season begins at Thanksgiving, when, in fact, it begins on midnight, December the 24th. Christmas Eve. Therefore, in the Christian church, we are preparing to celebrate the coming of the Nativity during these days of Advent. We are preparing for the celebration by first coming to understand who we are in relationship with this great loving God. In doing this, it becomes clear that although we may have tried, we still fall short, and therefore there is the need for repentance. We also know that God's forgiveness is ever present when we take the time to ask for it. This is the preparation we need to have so that Christmas becomes far more than just a trash can full of torn wrapping paper and ribbons. Rather, Christmas becomes the joy of living the love of the Nativity throughout the year. This is why we celebrate each Advent Sunday with the reminders through the Advent wreath. It is also why we share the Nativity Village with everybody so that they too may be directed to why we prepare during the Advent season and celebrate the joy of Christmas. Perhaps the 17th century songwriter who wrote the text to the Advent hymn, "Hark, a Thrilling Voice is Sounding," sums up the season of Advent. "Hark, a thrilling voice is sounding. Christ is near. We hear it say, cast away the works of darkness, all you children of the day. Wakened by the solemn warning, from earth's bondage let us rise. Christ, our Son, our all sleuths dispelling, shines upon the morning skies. See the Lamb, so long expected, come with pardon down from heaven. Let us haste, Let us haste with tears of sorrow, one and all, to be forgiven. So, when next he comes in glory, the world is wrapped in fear. He will shield us with his mercy and with words of love drawn near. Honor, glory, might, and blessing to the Father and the Son with the everlasting Spirit while unending ages run. Amen.